Welcome to the Our Two Cents podcast with your hosts, Rosh and Nan. Here we talk about all things pop culture and we have something for everyone. Listen in to our latest episode and we hope you enjoy the show.
Two Cents, episode 86.
Yep.
With me, Rosh.
And me, Nam.
And we are back for another episode.
And this time it's Christmas.
Merry
Christmas.
Jack the holes with us.
Yeah, let's not sing. So you will be very happy to know this is like literally days after our last episode.
Oh my gosh.
So like we didn't post for like 6 months and then all of a sudden we're like,
oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, posting so much.
Oh my gosh.
So today's episode, what is it? Hang on. So this is a very special episode.
Is it?
It's going to be an unedited episode.
Yeah.
Because we are putting it out quicker than normal. And because it's Christmas madness, we're not going to have time. So it's not that I'm not going to edit at all.
Yeah.
But it'll be like minimal editing. So you will hear, barring like something major going on.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise it's unedited.
Sure.
So you will hear some sniffles and some coughs and some.
From you.
Yeah, probably. And, you know, just silly arguments and conversations or whatever.
Yeah.
And our little tangents that we sometimes go off on, which I do edit out.
I know. Sometimes we're just like.
And the first thing I need to do is I need to lower the volume of my headphone. And you can, while I'm doing that, you can explain what the fiasco that we've just gone through.
Yeah. So basically, we had some technical issues before we started recording, to the point where Nam was like, I don't think we're ever going to be able to record ever again because I don't know what's happening.
GarageBand was doing my head in.
And there was just a lot of
expletives.
Expletives, profanity being thrown. Enough to last us for the next year, I think. but yeah, it was pretty intense. And
this was definitely not PG.
Yeah, that was not R2 Sense friendly. but anyway, we're here. So
for some reason, and this is probably something I will edit out, I'm not being able to regulate my headphone volume.
Just push it.
Hello. Gosh, it's very loud.
Feel as loud.
I don't know why it's so loud.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not wearing any headphones, so.
Okay, I think that, it's just one volume. It's like if I lower it any further, I can't hear anything. So, whatever. Okay.
Fun.
All right, we'll keep going. So, today's episode, what are we actually talking about?
We are talking about, we're kind of talking a little bit about how you've reconciled to the fact that you're watching Hallmark movies.
Yes.
Hallmark Christmas movies, I should say.
Embraced some Christmas stuff.
Because for the people who have been here the longest, you will know that Nam is not a big fan of the Hallmark Christmas movies.
Nope.
For what reason would you like to give the people?
I don't know. I always used to find them really annoying. Like, that was my main thing.
Well, that's just rude, but anyway.
And just unrealistic and silly and,
the point of them. They're meant to be.
And that's bad.
That's not bad.
Well, not anymore. I am on board.
How many movies are realistic?
True.
Tell me that.
Not a lot.
Exactly. So most movies aren't realistic.
Okay, I wouldn't say realistic. My big pet peeve. And look, if you have been listening a while, you know this about me. I love everything. Even some of the crappy stuff, I will be like, yeah, it was fun. What I cannot get on board with is bad acting, like cringy acting.
Yeah, look, even I can't do that. But, and you know, some of the Hallmark movies do have really bad acting.
Yeah,
but I will say Hallmark is getting better. It's the Netflix movies that are really bad.
Those are still bad. Those are still very painful, actually.
Yeah,
I don't know if I could still watch them.
The Netflix movies are really bad. Like the whole the Christmas Prince and the Princess Switch, like. Yes.
Beshrew.
Look, Vanessa Hudgens is doing some of her best work that she's ever done in those movies.
She's playing like three different people.
Barring her, she's got a lot to do. But barring her, everyone else is crap. Like, everyone is just bad in those movies. And like Princess, the Christmas Prince and all that's just really bad. But I mean, we've watched a few Hallmark movies now, mm-hmm. and you've kind of enjoyed them.
Yeah, I've enjoyed them. They're actually pretty decent, like storylines, and you know.
But anyway, we'll get into it. So like, yeah, that's what we're talking about, and then we're not really talking about the movies so much.
Yeah,
not
today.
So much, but like, I mean, we will mention their names and what they're about, but like, we're talking mostly about Christmas episodes of TV shows that we love.
That we love.
Because I feel like we haven't given those enough love in the past.
I know, usually talk about like the movies and stuff, but we don't talk about TV.
We haven't really talked about TV yet, so that's what we're going to do.
Yes, we are.
Yay.
Woohoo. So, I have a list. I have prepared a list, a very hastily prepared list, but a list nonetheless. So, I think the first one we should talk about is Friends. So, yeah. Friends usually does a Christmas and a Thanksgiving episode.
Every year.
Every season. So, I would say, like, that's why I would pick that first. Because I think it was in an interview. They were like, you know, usually doing a Thanksgiving or a Christmas episode is always a good idea. Because it has all of the friends in, like, one room or in the same space.
Yeah.
So I really like those episodes.
To be honest, it's not necessarily the Christmas episodes that have been my favorite of Friends.
It's the Thanksgiving episodes.
I agree.
Especially they've been great.
Rachel's dessert fiasco with the beef sauteed with peas and onions.
Yes.
English trifle.
So bad.
That's like one of my favorite episodes of all time. I love it so much. But anyway, we're here to talk about Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But which one would you say is the best Christmas
episode? Ooh, for Friends.
Oh, one of the best, yeah, Friends.
I really like, I don't know if this would be classified as a Christmas. I love the Holiday Armadillo one. Technically, it's not a Christmas episode. It is like a holiday episode.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, Ross is talking about Hanukkah and how he wants Ben, to his son, to know about Hanukkah. And it keeps getting hijacked by Santa Claus and, you know, all the Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
But my favorite moment is when, you know, obviously Joey comes in as a Superman in his Superman outfit. And he's like, you know, and Ross is like, and that's when all the Jews.
No. Chandler goes, he's like, my favorite part was when Superman flew all the Jews out of Egypt.
Oh, my God. That was so funny.
Oh, my God. That gets
but
me every
actually,
time.
My favorite bit in that episode is when Phoebe walks in and they're lighting the Hanukkah candles.
Why is it the Easter Bunny funeral in here?
Oh my God, it's so funny. Oh jeez, it's hilarious.
Oh my God, it's
what
so
is your
funny.
Favorite Christmas episode for Friends?
Oh my God, I don't know. I think honestly it's one of the very, very first ones. And it's the one where
they buy the crappy gift.
Oh because God. Joey and Chandler haven't done their shopping.
Oh my God.
And so Phoebe takes them and then just like buys stuff from like a petrol station.
It is such a relatable episode.
It's so funny. It's so funny. Rachel going, windscreen wipers. I don't even have a car. Like a cola drink and a lemon lime. And Ross just going, wow, this is so nice. I feel like I should get you another sweater. Oh my God, it's so good.
I agree. I think that's a good one. I also like the one where, I don't know if it's like a Christmas episode, but it's when they're looking for the actual Christmas presents.
Yeah, I think that's the Christmas episode.
Yeah, so like Phoebe, Rachel, and Chandler.
Yeah.
And they're looking for the Christmas presents that Monica has hidden. And they finally find them.
And they're really like,
and they're really sad Christmas presents.
Like, because he's like, oh, I want to, like Monica's to see her face when like I, you know, react to her present and da da da. And then she's like, do you know how long it took me to find you that air purifier?
Oh, water purifier.
Water purifier. And he's just like, that's what you got me. And she's like, yes, that face is priceless.
It's so bad.
That is
a really good one. But oh, I'm just trying to think.
Oh my
what
God,
else do they
there's
have.
Just so many good ones.
There's a lot of good ones, but I do agree. I think it's the Thanksgiving episodes
that are the stronger ones.
Yeah. And that always made me think, I wonder why. Yeah. Is it the Thanksgiving that sort of trumps the Christmas ones on Friends?
Because the Thanksgiving ones, I don't know, the situation's just become more ridiculous because the Christmas ones always become a bit more like wholesome and stuff. Mm. Thanksgiving, you can be as mad as you
That's
want.
That's true, actually.
Because it's literally not about like the spirit of Christmas. That's not what Thanksgiving is, right? Yeah. It's literally just about all your friends and family getting together to give thanks for
each other
and all that
so
stuff.
So it's not a Christmas episode, but it is a Thanksgiving. My favorite one is the one where Brad Pitt guest stars.
Oh, that's another good one.
That is such a good episode. That's only because one. The banter in that.
The banter. Actually, when we were in school, in high school, in our drama class, we had to pick a scene from like a TV show or movie or whatever to just like sort of, that was like our first class of the semester. And so us group of six friends, we picked that scene because we were like, whatever, it's just epic. It's just so, I was Monica. But, so I had to be like, one girl liked you so much, she stuffed her pants with a Tootsie Roll. We were all basically, so we weren't really like doing our own acting or anything. We were just like copying the friends, but like, whatever. It was just fun. It was fun.
Okay, so that was Friends.
Anyway, Friends is like, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, you're pretty much set in terms of like good episodes. But
So the next show that we've got listed is, it's basically two episodes from this show, and the show is The Office. So the point here is that Office always does really ridiculous and fun, like, episodes based on, like, festivals.
Yeah.
Because just off the top of my, like, obviously this is Christmas, but I have to mention.
We have to mention the Diwali episode. Hilarious. Which I was watching, like, a few days after Diwali, to be honest, because I was at mom and dad's house. And I was like, Mom, have you seen the Diwali episode? And she's like, no, I don't think so. And, funnily enough, we had The Office on and it happened to be the next episode.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, Did you make her watch it? Yeah, so she's like, this is the most ridiculous
thing.
Michael's singing, Hopper, 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 Diwali.
It's so bad. It is so bad, but so funny.
The long game.
Please don't sing that.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
So this is not only a Christmas episode, this is also a musical episode.
Come on, it was hilarious. Oh. But so The Office has, as we've seen,
two episodes.
Well, I'm sure they've got more. Yeah. But these two are my absolute favorites. So it's the first one is the Secret Santa Exchange episode.
Yes.
Where everybody's fighting over the iPod.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny.
Like, who gets the iPod? It's so funny. And then you get a little bit of sentiment with Jim and Pam and the whole teapot and, you know, his yearbook photo being in the teapot. And then he doesn't give her the letter that was also in it. And then she's...
Doesn't he give it to her later? Like, yeah, when they're way later. Married. And,
yeah, when they're going through all the issues and stuff.
Last season, isn't it? Yeah.
So we never knew what was written. I mean, we had a feeling, obviously, because we knew how Jim felt about it. But she never knew what was in it until the end. And the following season's Benihana Christmas
Gosh.
Where there's two office Christmas parties because no one wants to go to Angela's boring party. And Karen and Pam are doing the other party where it's like karaoke and
it's so good.
Alcohol and like all this stuff. And then... Eventually, by the end of the night, the two parties just merged together.
I think my favorite bit about that is the scenes in Benihana.
Oh my God.
They make Dwight sit right at the end of the table and there's a couple in the middle and they're screaming things across from the table and Jim is just changing what the boys are saying.
Yeah.
And Dwight is getting like completely different information and he's saying like the grossest things and this couple in the middle is stuck there.
Why didn't they just move?
I have no idea. Like, every time I watch that episode, I'm like, move!
Just move your seats.
Just move your seats.
I think like, my favorite,
why are you sitting there?
My favorite is, like, Kevin going, like, he eats one cupcake and then he wants to go for another cupcake. And Angela's like, no. No seconds until everybody's got some. And it's, like, three people in the room. It's so good.
Her party is so pathetic.
It's so pathetic. It is, and then, so like, at pathetic. The end when they all join together, they're all doing karaoke. And she's like, I'll only do karaoke if you have Christmas songs.
Oh, my God.
And then
God.
She's literally standing on, like, this bucket with her hands in that, you know, like, Von Trapp family singers, like, when you join your hands like that. And she's singing Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, my God. It's so bad.
Dwight is holding the mic for her.
That is, like, the time when, who was it? Karen was there, yeah. Wasn't she? Is that when Karen and Jim are dating?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So Karen and Pam are doing the other party, isn't yeah. it? Oh, my gosh. It's so funny.
So
but
funny.
Then the other part about that episode, which is ridiculous and hilarious and so offensive as well.
Oh, my God.
Is when they bring those waitresses back
to the and they can't. Michael can't tell the difference.
Michael can't tell the difference.
It's so awful. Oh, my awful. God.
It's so awful. But it's so funny at the same time.
But it's like those kinds of jokes, like... They're like, if you were to do that now, it would be so offensive. You could never get away with it. Right?
You could but never get away with
because
it.
Because they handled it in such a, like, ridiculous way.
I think the only reason why it works even now is because, you know, people still watch it.
Yeah.
The only reason why it works even now is because when Michael is doing that, you can tell it's a bad thing. It's yeah. not celebrated.
No, it's not.
It's funny because it's the joke is on Michael.
Yeah, the joke's on Michael.
That he's such a moron and a... I mean, I guess like an ingrained racist.
Yeah.
That he can't tell the difference between two different people.
Yeah.
Just because
the joke is always on Michael. So at least that's the saving.
So that makes sense. Because
he's such a moron. But yeah, it's just so ridiculous. I love both of those episodes so much. Every time they come around, I just have this glee in my heart. Like, it's just so funny. Yeah, even like in Secret Santa Exchange, every time someone gets the iPod, the next person will be like, I want the iPod. Like, it keeps going around. And I can't even remember who the hell ends up with the iPod, to be honest.
Because doesn't Michael buy it because he wants to give it to Ryan?
Yeah, he wants to give it to Ryan. And like,
but then it keeps getting...
Everyone wants the iPod because like it's gone over the budget anyway. So like we want the most expensive thing there. So it's like... No sentiment. Everybody's just like handing over the crappy presents. Oh my God. It's so funny.
By default, I've kind of made the list in categories. So these were like the friends in the office ones were like the funny, ridiculous ones. So now we're kind of going into, I guess it was this slightly more heartfelt, I guess. Yeah. So I think the first in that is the one of my absolutely all-time favorite shows. And I am going to start doing a rewatch of it because it's been a while. The OC.
Yeah,
baby.
And
this is an episode from season one called The Best Christmas Car Ever.
Mm-hmm.
In which Seth, what's his last name? I keep forgetting.
Cohen.
In my head, I was like Seth Rogen. I'm like,
no, Seth Rogen. That's a real person.
Seth Cohen. Invents a brand new holiday
Christmas
called Christmas, which is the mix of Christmas and Hanukkah. And I think because that's he brilliant
is Jewish on one side and you know
and I don't understand why this has not been
I don't understand thing. How this has not become a thing
right like, I don't get it.
Christmas should be a thing.
It totally should,
especially for families that come from mixed
backgrounds. But honestly, so
it would be great to be
that
honest.
That episode is the episode that the reason why I say it's heartfelt is because obviously, if you haven't watched The OC, like what are you doing with your life?
Watch yeah, exactly.
It. It's great.
Watch The OC.
But essentially, you've got Ryan, who's like not adopted at this point. He's living with them.
No, yeah, he's living. With
they're
them.
His legal guardians, aren't
yeah,
they?
At yeah, at this point, yeah.
And do they actually adopt him at any point?
I don't think so. Because then he's past 18 by that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, I don't think
so
they do.
I don't think they do.
Yeah.
But like, he's pretty much adopted.
He's their
isn't
son.
He?
You know, they refer to son. Him as their son. Yeah. And, you know. But anyway, like this is the first time that we get Ryan sort of gets this holiday.
Yeah.
With family who loves him and who takes care of him, and it's still in the first season, sort of like towards.
The
middle part of the first season's like really
first
long.
First season's like 28 episodes.
I honestly thought it was like two seasons.
That's what I thought as well. I was like, why is it
I
so
don't understand
long?
Why it's such a long season.
Oh my God. Like, how did they get that many episodes back then? Like,
I have no idea.
22 was the max.
I have no idea. But anyway, but this is like, it's so heartwarming because you really, this episode I would say is what cements the heart of this show.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, which
and it's the
is
Coens.
It's the Coens.
Yeah.
And Ryan is the Coens.
Yeah, of course. You know,
he's part of the Coens.
He is a Coen, yeah.
And, oh my God. I mean, no, it's funny, obviously.
Oh, it's hilarious.
But it just introduces you to, and I just think, like, I don't know. It's like, it's a very interesting episode because I didn't know much about, like, you know, being from India and stuff. Like, we don't really, we celebrate Christmas, obviously. But obviously there are people, there are Jewish people who live in India.
There's yeah.
actually quite a big group.
There is a big,
of Jewish people. I think a lot of them live up in, like, Mumbai side.
Yeah.
there's a big Jewish population. So they obviously celebrate Hanukkah, but it's not a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, like Christmas, a lot of people celebrate. Like it's quite mainstream, but Hanukkah isn't.
Yeah.
And even though I kind of knew about Hanukkah, I didn't really know what it was. I didn't even know that it was sort of celebrated around the same time.
Yeah.
So I think to have like...
Yeah, because growing up, you don't know until, you know, your parents explain it.
Yeah,
to you,
and I think an interesting part of this was that apart from Friends... This was probably one of the mainstream shows that actually talked about Hanukkah
yeah.
in a lot of detail.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I thought that was interesting.
And, like, as we were saying, like, Hallmark movies, a lot of them are doing, like, Hanukkah movies now as well.
That's good.
Which is great. In fact, Matt Cohen was in one.
Oh, nice.
Which I can't remember the name of it now, but I remember watching it. It was really cute. He was adorable, of course.
Mm, he's always course. Adorable.
Oh my God, can't wait
Did
to
he take
him.
His shirt off?
I don't know. I think if he had, I would have remembered. But that means he probably didn't. But yeah, anyway. But yeah, a lot of them are doing like Hanukkah movies now, which is great.
But I feel like that episode, because, you know, I think it ends with their family photo, like yeah. it's for the card.
Yeah,
and Ryan's in it as well, in front of the yeah. fireplace. And I remember, I think it's like at the end. No, hang on, what is it? Is it not at the end? But it's like one of the episodes in which Seth is like going through his little existential crisis.
Yeah,
whether it's towards the end of season one or like later on, and that. Picture keeps coming back up.
Yeah.
And honestly, like for me, when I was watching this show, this was the episode that kind of makes the whole show and you kind of get an idea.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, this is that family that, yeah. you know, this you're going to love.
They are the one main ones that we're rooting
that
for.
That you're like, just going
to
root for.
They have to always be together. They can never, like, be apart. And when they are, like, through, like, awful circumstances sometimes, it's so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And this is slowly becoming an OC episode. But, like... Like we love Kirsten and Sandy Cohen as the parents.
Oh, I love
it. We love Seth.
Speaking of.
And we love Ryan and we love them as pseudo brothers.
Okay, so speaking of another Christmas episode of the OC, which I didn't originally put in my list, but now I'm thinking of it.
Yeah.
It's in season 4. It's the one in which Ryan and Taylor fall off the ladder.
Oh
so
God.
This again goes into like heartwarming, but also ridiculous.
Yeah.
Category. It's when they fall off the ladder.
Yeah.
And they go into like this weird coma.
Yeah.
And in the coma, the two of them are like in this AU.
Yeah.
OC world.
Where Ryan was never a part of the family.
Ryan's never like, a part of the family. Sandy and Kirsten are divorced.
And
Sandy's married to Julie.
Ew.
And Kirsten's married to Jimmy.
Jimmy, yeah.
Seth is like this weird kid.
Yeah.
Who doesn't talk to anyone, nothing.
Yeah.
Taylor is a boy.
Yeah.
Taylor's a reason.
A dude.
It's like a gender bender.
I don't know why.
What else? Oh, Summer is engaged to, what was that guy's name?
Che.
Played by Chris
Pratt.
Brilliant.
I love Chris Pratt before he was Chris Pratt.
Oh my God. He's so good in that.
He's amazing.
He's great. So yeah, she's engaged to Che.
Yeah.
Because his name's Chester.
Yeah. And she's like a total airhead.
Oh, she's such a bimbo.
What she would have been if like she had never gotten with Seth.
Such a bimbo. And then who else is in that? Well, Marissa wouldn't have been in it.
No,
but he thinks that she's in there.
She thinks that she's there, but like it's that thing of like had Ryan not been around, she would have originally died
in
Mexico when she overdosed.
That was like in the first season.
That was in the first season.
Where he saved her.
Where he helped her, yeah.
But then instead of dying in the accident,
yeah.
in this episode, she's already dead before he even meets her. And she died in Mexico.
Yeah.
So if Ryan had not been there, she would have not had those extra years, essentially. Yeah, exactly. And I love that episode. It's one of my favorites.
She's like, here's a present. I hope you grill your face.
Honestly, OC season 4 is great. A lot of people bash it, but I love it.
I love it, too. It's just, once it's so bad to say, but once Marissa's gone, it's just kind of fun again. Oh.
Okay, so instead of this becoming an OC episode, let's move on to the next one. So the next one is one of our favorites, and it's Supernatural. And this episode is called A Very Supernatural Christmas. What season was this?
Season 3, episode 8.
Season 3, episode 8. Oh my gosh. It is honestly one of my favorite.
I have to watch it every year.
It is so good.
It's just so good. It's just like, it's so good because it's Dean going through the whole thing of, you know, he's about to die because of the whole...
The curse.
The deal. The demon deal that he made to save Sam's life. And he's only got a year. And at this point, it's only a few months left. And it's kind of him reminiscing, both of them reminiscing about, like, their previous Christmases. And, we get flashbacks of, like, little Dean and little Sam. And it's
little Colin Ford. And the little shit presents they give each other.
That's so cute, though. Well, no, Sam gave him a very good present. He gave him the amulet. That's where the origin of the amulet comes from. Which was intended for John, but John never showed because John Winchester is a shit father. So anyway, moving on. It's just a really good episode, and like the whole hunt is amazing because they're basically like going after these demigods that make Christmas wreaths.
Yeah,
and the wreaths is made out of meadowsweep.
Yeah,
which is like the thing that they attract people with, the sweet smell.
And the best is it's like this quintessential suburban
old couple, the Carrigans.
And they're so cute.
And they are so adorable, but they, my God, when they're ready to like sacrifice Sam and Dean, they're so scary.
I love the little
sweet peer on a popsicle stick. I forgot the tooth.
I love the bit when the girl comes and knocks on the door. And she goes, oh, would you like to go carol singing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And she gives them a cake. And they're like, oh, sorry, no, can't do it. And shut the door and drop the cake and walk over the cake. I'm like, I get that you're not so Christmas people and you're monsters. So at least eat the cake.
It's so good.
But
love the Carrigans. Best,
though, is the little torture scene.
Oh, my gosh.
I know it's like.
It's bad, but
it's still funny.
But it's so funny because it's like just them being so like they're literally cutting and removing fingernails and all of that stuff.
Oh,
and they're still so graphic. Being like really like wholesome and everything throughout. And she's like, you know what I feel like when I feel like swearing? Fudge. I'll try to remember that. You fudge and touch me again, I'll fudge and kill you.
Fudge. Oh my gosh. Have they done any other Christmas episodes?
No, well, they should have, shouldn't they, once the bunker came around.
It was like built for a Christmas episode.
There's that whole episode where the wood nymph Mrs. Butters is there and she gives them all the holidays that they miss. And it's Christmas for like 0.2 seconds. Mm-hmm. And I was like, seriously, this is how we get Christmas in the bunker?
Perfect for a Christmas episode.
Like, they should have, like, before the end of the series, there should have been a very bunker Christmas episode.
Definitely.
Like, that should have been, like, and with everyone, with, like, Jody and Donna and Alex and Claire and everybody. Like, everyone should have been there. Everyone. Garth, his wife, everybody. Should have been one big Christmas.
Oh, yeah, Garth got married, didn't he?
Yeah, they had twins.
Oh, I forgot, yeah. All right, moving right along. The next episode is, again, one of our favorite shows. Can you guess, Roshni? You're going to play a guessing game now.
I don't know. What did you add?
Would you like to play a little game?
What?
Ugh. Would you like to play a little game?
Scream.
Yeah. I'm not being exact in the words, but, you know, same thing.
I don't know.
It's got something to do with football.
Oh, Ted Lasso.
Oh my God, seriously.
I don't know.
You were Game there when I like made this list.
All over the place. Well, I was also helping Mum, like, finish
Fair enough.
Doing things.
So, Ted Lasso season 2, and the episode is called Carol the Bells.
Yes!
And Honestly, again, one of the best episodes.
Oh, one of the best episodes.
On Ted Lasso.
So good. So
for a number of reasons. I think the main reason is... Oh, actually, I don't know if there's like a main reason.
There's no main
reason. There's like
so many
reasons.
The whole thing is so good.
Honestly, everything about that episode
is
so good.
The whole thing is absolutely perfect. From the very opening scene where they're all like putting, like giving their... Secret Santas, and Jamie has bought a Secret Santa. He's like, yeah, the email said Secret Santa. Oh, I didn't know that I had to buy anything.
What a
God
moron.
Bless me, everyone.
What an idiot. But essentially, you've got Ted, who's dealing with his divorce.
Yeah.
And he's all alone at Christmas. He's mm-hmm. got no one. Beard has got his own, you know, plans with his girlfriend. Everyone's busy, and Rebecca's supposed to go to Elton John's party, but she doesn't. She actually comes, collects Ted, and they go distribute gifts to kids in the community, which I think is so cute.
It was so cute, and just, you know, just putting out there, great first date. That's all I'm gonna say.
Great first date.
that's all I'm gonna say about that.
Oh, but I like her reasoning, because she's like, I know how shit Christmas can be after your divorce. Like your first Christmas. Like first it can Christmas be so after. Depressing.
Yeah.
And it clearly is, because Ted is like down in the dumps.
Yeah, like it starts off fine. Like he's on the phone with Henry, but then like Henry gets distracted by the drone that Ted bought him.
Exactly.
So like and then, kid. You know, he's gone. So like he's, you know.
He's a child.
So then he's just left there to like watch It's a Wonderful Life, which is not wonderful, by the way. It's not. It's really depressing. It's really depressing.
I don't understand why people watch that movie at Christmas. I really don't understand that.
It was set at Christmas. But anyway. And he's drinking, like he's day drinking, and it's not a good thing. Like Ted's never really done
not
that.
Not in
so,
a good way day drinking.
Like,
it's
not
happy
in a good
day
way.
Drinking.
And so like when Rebecca comes, it's just so refreshing, and like their relationship is so special, because, you know, they've both been through absolute, you know, crap in their own relationships, and then, you know, they have this special bond, and They're always there for each other, which is amazing, because they're so completely different.
I think this episode really cements their friendship.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like it really tells you, like obviously he cares for her as he's a boss. She's a boss, but like she really invites that friendship.
Yeah.
Through this move, I think that's really great. But I think my favorite part about this episode is
the team
dinner at Higgins' house.
Oh my gosh, where they're all like playing with the kids with Nerf guns.
So
and,
good.
Like, they're like having a full on Nerf gun battle, and then like they're all on the table for dinner, and like
I think just the concept so as well. Like Hayden says, like you know, a lot of these players are away from their families.
Yeah.
You know,
so
they don't have anyone to
open.
Celebrate with. So
it's amazing.
Our house is open for those people who don't have anything to
and
celebrate.
And he's so
with.
Funny. He's like, we usually get like one or two, and like this year the whole team
the
shows
whole
up.
The whole team comes,
which was
it's
amazing. And like just a fun fact about that, where he's like, where Higgins is standing at the top of the table and he's saying like where everyone is from, that is actually where each of the actors is from.
Oh, I love that,
which is fantastic.
That's so good.
I loved how they incorporated that. And then the other storyline that's happening is Roy and Keeley can't do their sexy Christmas.
Oh my god, that is so
because
funny.
Phoebe has come along. Phoebe, Roy's niece, has
so
come
cute.
Along and said that the boy who was her secret Santa gave her toothpaste
and
mouthwash because her breath stinks. And it actually really stinks. And
I love the bit where they're smelling. What does Roy say? He goes, oh no, I was...
I think you might be dying.
I think you might be dying. Oh, that poor child.
So they go around trying to find a dentist in the area. Oh.
To fix it.
And so when they do fix it, then they go to get the cardboard and all that, and they do the whole Love Actually thing.
It's
with
so
the
fun.
Guy with the kid that bought her the stuff in the first place. And it's all like, I may have forgiven you, but you will always still be really mean or whatever the thing said. But happy holidays, like all this stuff. You have to deal with him. And then Roy just goes,
I think that whole episode is probably so good. One of the most wholesome episodes of any TV show or film.
And then it ends with, you know, Rebecca doesn't actually go to Elton John's party. They come and start singing outside Higgins' house.
Oh, it's so cute.
And Hannah wanting him, like, blows us all out of the water with her amazing voice.
I will say, though, low-key, I wish she had gone to Elton John's party with Ted.
Yes, exactly.
And we had had an Elton John cameo.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. That would have been amazing.
Do you know how much Ted would be talking about that for the rest of his life? He'd be like, you know what, Elton John's party. Oh, my God. It was amazing.
Oh, my gosh. It would have been so good. So good. But honestly, that Ted Lasso in itself is just one of the most wholesome shows.
So special.
But that episode, like, out of every movie I've seen, out of every show I've seen, that episode is probably the most wholesome.
Yeah.
And heartwarming. And really, I have ever seen.
Like, I put it up, like, so Supernatural always have the special place at the very top for me, but, like, this is equivalent. Like, I'd put them both on the same top shelf because I just love them so much. But,
Well, I'm going to break that bubble now.
Oh, God.
Because we're going from the most wholesome to, I guess, in a way, like, it's definitely not wholesome. It is probably the most traumatic episode that anyone can ever watch.
Oh, my God.
Of Christmas. And it's from The Bear.
Oh, God, yeah.
Season 2.
Yeah, Fishes.
And the episode is called Fishes.
Fishes.
And it is probably one of the best episodes.
It's actually the opposite. Okay. The opposite ends of the spectrum are completely. The Ted Lasso episode and the Bear
completely.
Let's completely. Literally, that's our spectrum.
Completely.
Everything else is in the middle.
Exactly. Like, it is the most intense minutes of television that you can ever watch.
I think it's like an hour, isn't that episode?
Probably.
Because the Bear episodes aren't actually that long, and then that one was supposed to be
unless like it longer. Felt like an hour.
No, I think it was. I think it was an hour.
Anyway, so that's the first time we see what's his name? Oh my gosh. I'm blanking on
Kami's brother?
Yes. John Marvel? Kami's mum. And his brother.
Yeah.
In like full thing, but we hadn't been introduced to we had had flashbacks of his brother before, so we knew who was playing him, but we hadn't seen his mother, and his mom is Jamie Lee Curtis. Like,
oh my gosh, amazing.
That's great casting,
like the amount of people that are in the so it's like it's John Bernthal who's playing the brother, it's Jamie Lee Curtis playing the mom, it's Bob Odenkirk playing one of their uncles, and John Mulaney and Sarah Paulson are supposed to be
cousins, I think.
I think she is the cousin. She's the cousin he's married, to her. So, I mean, like, all of my favorite people in one episode.
Such a good episode.
And it's super intense the whole time because it's literally the mom cooking the seven fishes and all of the surrounding dishes too, but there's just like she's so like that chaotic. Whole family is so messed up, and she's so chaotic, and oh god, there's no way to even like describe it because it's just,
you can't describe it.
It's just super intense.
The thing about that episode is very interesting, is because it starts off as like this really chaotic Italian family. It's very like how people, you know, you imagine in your head, of like this very stereotypical loud Italian family. You know, this big family, everyone's talking, mum's in the kitchen, it's a mess, like the mum's going crazy, cooking, doesn't let anyone do anything. But you soon realize that that is that manic. It's manic. It's not actually the healthy, fun kind of intensity and craziness. It's actually manic, and it's very negative. And you see that through Kami's, like, reactions to the mom and to the family, the rest of the family. And you get to see his brother and the way he reacts. And you really understand how things in the show, the way they are.
Yeah.
After watching that episode, you really get it. And it's interesting that that episode is actually in season 2.
Yeah.
not in season one.
Yeah.
So you actually get all these insights much later. Yeah,
because we've gotten like glimpses into like who they are as people in season one in the present time. Yeah. And you're kind of like, why are they the way they are? And then this comes up and
you're like, oh.
And it just makes that everything makes clicks sense. Into place so quickly. It's like,
that makes sense.
Like, this is why Kami is the way he is. This is why Sugar is the way that she is.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. It's
like, it's such an insightful episode. Like, obviously, acting wise, it is brilliant.
And how this is all kind of brushed off on other people in their lives too, like Richie. This episode is with him and his wife when they were still together. Yeah. And they're so, like, chill and, like, everything that there's, you know, she's pregnant at the time.
And it's, like, a few years before the like setting of the show, isn't it? Yeah.
Or something like that. And there's that whole scene. It's the only scene in the whole episode where it's, like, quiet.
Quiet, yeah.
Because he goes to check on her while she's sleeping upstairs. Isn't she pregnant? Yeah, she's pregnant. Yeah. And she's not feeling the best. And he brings her, like, a lemonade or something. Yeah. And they're just talking about like
just quiet, you know,
just how they're gonna be as parents and that kind of stuff. And it's just like, it's the only scene where you go
breath of fresh air sort of thing
before you start again, you know. So
and the ending and of it with the cannolis
sort
and,
of like Richie has become that way through like extension of knowing these people. So
I think if you have cousin so good. But honestly, if you have not seen The Bear, like, as it is, The Bear is such a great show. But I think this episode is so, it's one of the best episodes in the whole show. It's There's so other good. Ones as well that are really, really good. But this show, this episode is excellent. Yeah. It's very dramatic.
Like, from season one, I'd say like the best episode, not that this is becoming a bear episode, but season one, the best episode is the one where it's all done in one shot.
Yeah.
And then in this season, it's Fishes and it's Forks, where it's Richie going to
learn from the restaurant,
more experience.
So restaurant. One of the things about this Fishes episode, I wanted to mention was I've got a coworker, and he is the one that kind of was like, you have to watch The Bear, you will love it, right?
Yeah.
It was already on my to watch list, but he pushed me to like watch it because he was like, I want to talk about it.
Yeah. Actually, someone told me when I had COVID last year, they're like, oh, you should, because I was like, give me your recs to watch a show. Yeah. And The Bear had actually just come out. And they're like, oh, you should watch it. And I was fully intending to watch it. Yeah. And then I was watching something Stuff else. Happened, yeah. And that took me way longer to watch than I should. And then The Bear got left behind.
So but you know what he said? So he comes from a fairly dysfunctional family.
Right, okay.
And we were talking about this episode and I was like, oh, I really loved it. It was such a good episode. Like, so intense and so this, so that. He goes, I think it's a brilliant episode, but I can never watch it ever again. Because
it was too real?
This is too real for me.
Well, okay.
And I was like, I appreciate that. Yeah. Because there are families where stuff like this does happen. So Christmas is, and I love the fact that this was a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
And it's really like, you know,
for some families, Christmas is super dysfunctional.
It's not a great time.
It's not a great time.
Because even though you're forced to spend time together,
it's with people that you might not want to be around.
And it's with people that might not be healthy for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you might just have a lot of,
for the sake of Christmas, you all have to be together.
Absolutely. There might be a lot of love for you, for them in your heart, but sometimes you should just not be in the same room.
Yeah.
As people. And I think I hate bringing things down because it is Christmas.
Yeah.
But I think the reality of Christmas is
especially right now,
like, there's a lot going on in the world. There's, you know, this cost of living. And this is something we've been talking about. It doesn't feel like Christmas.
No.
When this did we decorate? Doesn't... So today is the 20th. We're recording this on the 20th. We literally
decorated like 2 days ago.
Not even 2 days, like yesterday.
Was it yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday we decorated.
Oh gosh, yeah.
We decorated on the 19th of December when we usually decorate literally like on the 1st or the 2nd.
Yeah.
We haven't been feeling it.
No.
We have not been feeling this whole spirit of Christmas thing, which is really sad. We didn't even go for the carol singing night that our church does.
Yeah.
We didn't participate this year. We didn't feel like going this year, so we didn't end up going.
Yeah.
Like, it's not good. Like, it is not a great feeling.
Yeah.
And now that I'm so glad we honestly decorated. Because even, like, Mom was like, oh, forget it. Like, she decorated super late as well. She's like, oh,
I'm like, on Mom to say that, that's a big deal.
And she was just like, oh, I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
And that is a huge thing. We usually love Christmas.
Yeah.
The last two Christmases I've hosted in my place because it was a new house and, you know, all of that stuff. And honestly, I've loved it.
Yeah, it's been fun.
It's been a lot of fun. It's been very hard work, but I've loved it because we've been blessed that we had the family. The whole family was here. All of that. But I don't know. There's just something in the air right now. Everybody's feeling it. And correct me if I'm wrong. It could be others maybe not feeling it. But definitely every single person that I have spoken to in the last probably 2 or 3 weeks, everyone is kind of going, it doesn't feel very Christmassy right now.
Yeah.
You know, the joy, the excitement. It's a lot of stress right now. A lot of people are battling with money issues.
Yeah.
It's just not feeling like a very happy time.
Yeah.
So,
not to bring everybody down.
And this is where the message comes in. Try and make the most of it.
Yeah.
Like, we're having a very low-key Christmas this year.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad about that.
I'm actually glad about it because I think we need to, like, recuperate. We've had a very busy year. We've had a crazy year.
Yeah.
But luckily this year, it's a small group. It's just the four of us and our cousin and her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And that's it. It was just the six of us. And we're basically just doing... So in Australia, we have a thing called Carols by Candlelight in Melbourne. And it's this... It's been going on for years and years
It's been going on for, since, like, the 50s.
50s?
Yeah. 50s or 60s or something like that.
But it's a huge thing. There's a charity called Vision Australia, and they basically hold this event, and all the money that is raised through goes tickets and them. Things goes to them, and they provide...
And all the performers that come for free.
Yeah. So it's basically... It's a fundraising event.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And we've gone twice before. And it happens on the 24th, so Christmas Eve. So we're going there to celebrate, which I'm really excited about. And I'm hoping it's a great show. And then on the 25th, we're just doing church in the morning. And then we're going for lunch. And we're going out for lunch. We're having Chinese for lunch.
I know. So not like us to do that. But who's going to cook for six people? Like,
right?
That's no. I don't think any of us would have had the energy to do that.
And I'm sort of happy to do that. But at the same time, I'm like, we've never had a Christmas this low-key before.
Yeah.
And it's not because it's like, oh, we don't
feel. I guess we're just sort of like testing the waters. Like,
probably.
If we feel good about it after the end, maybe we'll do it again next year. But like, I don't know.
I don't know if I want to do it this low-key next year. Oh, again, it depends on how we feel.
Like, I hope we don't have to. By circumstance.
You know, ideally what I would actually like to do
is be somewhere else.
Yeah, I would actually like to go on a holiday at Christmas. Yeah. Either if it's to go visit family again or just someplace new. Oh my God, I would love to go to New York.
Oh my God, Christmas in New York.
Have a New York Christmas. Or just anywhere in Europe, actually. Because a lot of, like our cousins are in Europe at the moment.
Yeah.
And like, I'm watching their videos and their photos and I'm like... All the Christmas markets.
Really isn't fair. We don't do any of that stuff.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's the feeling is not there in the city.
In the city. Like, I just don't think... I'm probably going to get, like, totally trashed for this, but I don't care. I just don't think Australia is very Christmassy.
Especially not this year.
Yeah.
I think we generally are.
Where is the Christmas
market? But there's just not...
There's no Christmas market.
I don't feel it very Christmassy this year.
No.
This year is the first year I'm not feeling Christmassy. There used to be this Christmas market that we used to go to, and this was before COVID. So we went like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
It used to be like this church that used to hold it, but like, you know, anyone can go, obviously.
Yeah.
And it was called the... I can't remember what the name of it was, but they would have like a lot of sustainable... market stalls and like beautiful stuff, like, you know, jewelry and handbags and clothes and pottery, and they'd have food trucks, and they had like a full-on Christmas market, and we used to go like nearly every year for at least 4 or 5 years, or maybe less than that, I don't know. And then COVID happened, we haven't gone back. I don't even know if they did it this year, and it's just been like no excitement in the lead up to Christmas.
But like, can I just say, even if they did a Christmas market, there's no way they can compete with, like, other places.
Oh, of course not.
Like,
of course not.
Like, we've been watching YouTubers and stuff that, like, live in New York and then going to the Christmas markets.
Oh, my gosh.
And like, I was like, I want to go. I really want to go there. And you know me. I hate the cold. But if it's Christmas in New York, I will grin and bear it.
I think you would bear the cold in New York or anywhere else.
Just give me a...
Just give me a nice Christmas.
50 hot chocolates and I'll be fine.
I think we're bringing down people. I don't think we should be talking
I mean, about yeah, we're this. Probably bringing everybody down. But all of this to say is that it's not always grin and happy and perfect.
You can have a down Christmas.
Yeah. And that's okay.
And
it's look, not okay, but it's okay in the sense of like it's just a circumstance that happens for some people.
I think a very important thing here is to think about Christmas as not being okay, you know, yes, it is cost of living, so a lot of people are thinking about presents. Like even with my friends, we decided beforehand, usually with and we've done a Christmas episode with Effie before, yeah. My dear friend Effie. But, and every year we go for like a little afternoon tea and then we exchange presents and, you know, that sort of thing. But this year we decided we're not going to do that. We're actually going to do it at home.
Mm.
We're going to cook and we're not going to do presents.
Yeah.
And we had a really lovely time. And that's the key here is to, yes, if you are struggling financially, if you're struggling mentally, do what you can.
Yeah.
And spend the time with the people you want because to spend
ultimately
with.
It's about, as we've been saying, the spirit of Christmas. It's not about the presents.
No, it's not.
It's not about the food, even though it might taste good. It is about just being with the people that you want to be with.
If you're a religious person, go to a good church. Go to a church that gives you that, you know, that joy and to, you know, hear a good message and to hear some good music. If you're not a religious person, spend it with the people that you love. Doesn't have to be your blood family. It can be your found family. It can be whatever, whoever it is.
Yeah.
That makes you happy and gives you joy. If it helps, you know, there's a lot of people who do volunteering on Christmas Day. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that is such an amazing thing. I've never even thought about doing that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good
thing. You know, like they volunteer at soup kitchens and stuff like that. And I think it's so important in this horrible materialistic world we live in to understand that Christmas, like this is like a Hallmark movie moment, honestly.
Literally.
Like Christmas She's on her soapbox. I am on my soapbox. Christmas is not about gifts. It's not about spending money. It's about having a peaceful time.
Yeah.
Whether that peaceful time means let's not cook like crazy and, you know, tire ourselves out to the point where we don't even remember Christmas Day. Because sometimes that can be fun. But sometimes, like, I honestly, this year we were not up for it.
No, I don't think anybody.
I was not up for it. Mum was definitely not up for it.
Yeah.
Energy wise. And sometimes that's the fun of it.
Yeah.
That you're so exhausted, but you're having a great time.
Yeah.
So feel what you need to feel. Don't it doesn't have to look a certain way.
Yeah.
Everyone's Christmas can be something different. Because
you're the only one who's going to remember it.
So. Absolutely.
Remember it the way you want to.
And now I shall step off.
And
my
now
soapbox.
You should step off. And we should do a roundup and just talk about what is our favorite of these that we've mentioned? Like,
I would say. I have to say it's a tie between Chris McCall and Ted Lasso.
Yeah, mine's Supernatural and Ted Lasso.
Mm. I think Ted Lasso because it's like, again, it's not about the gifts and it's not about that. It's about bringing joy to each other and being a family and being a community and you can be that family with anyone.
Yeah.
You know? And I think Chris McCall, again, same theme. You know? It's like from Ryan's perspective, they're not your blood family, but they're your family.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Whereas like Supernatural, they are blood family, but then, you know.
And the circumstances. And
the circumstances
they're in,
they're in. And like, but they want, like, they give each other, again, it's not about the presents because they give each other just stuff from the gas
station.
Stuff
they need. Yeah.
But they're together in a time when Dean really needs it.
Yeah.
And that's what
it's about being together.
Really special.
As brothers.
It's about being together. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, Ted Lasso is about being together and making your own family.
Yep.
So,
Yeah. So, yeah. So, we're hoping and praying that everyone listening to this will have an amazing Christmas. Yes. Whatever it may look like.
Yes.
Whether it's a big Christmas with your loving, beautiful family. Whether it's a, you know, Christmas that you're traveling. Safe travels to those who are doing that. Have fun. And if you're going to be, you know, a quiet Christmas for a couple, or even if you're by yourself, whatever you do, just, you know, be joyful and happy, and, you know, hopefully there'll be peace.
Yes.
So we're going to take a bit of a break.
Mm-hmm.
Over the Christmas New Year period, and we'll come back in January.
After a long break.
No, break. But we're being realistic.
No, yeah.
We're being realistic.
We'll come back in Jan.
We'll come back in Jan, definitely. We'll come back in Jan and we'll have a whole new episode for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have some more things that we will divulge about what we're going to be doing next year.
Okay. You guys can't see, but the hands are flying around.
I talk with my hands.
Well, so do I, but I'm just saying.
Well, considering all the chaos before we started, I think this went off pretty well.
Yeah.
So, this is not an edited episode, essentially.
Mm.
I will not be doing major edits on this.
Yeah.
So hopefully you guys like this.
Yeah.
Very raw.
Very raw.
Version of us.
Raw.
You know, I went off on a bit of a tangent at the end, but I was feeling stuff, you know?
She was feeling the spirit of Christmas.
Christmas. I needed to say my piece.
She wanted to spread peace on earth and goodwill to all men.
I mean, I still do.
Yeah.
So for everyone listening, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah,
Happy New Year,
Happy New Year, and we shall see you on the other side.
We'll not see you. No, talk to you on the other side. Why do we always do this? Honestly, let's just stick with
it. We have not yet.
Let's just stick with saying see you and then correcting ourselves to talk to you, because that's just our thing now.
It's happened every time. Oh, we didn't do the weather report.
We didn't do the weather report.
So we're going to end with this. We start with it.
Yeah, we're going to end with the weather report.
Quickly. So it's technically meant to be summer.
It don't feel like it.
What is Christmas Day supposed to be like?
I don't even want to check.
I won't tell you.
I'll cry if it's really bad.
I won't tell you. Hang on. Let's see.
I will actually cry right now while the mic is in front
of me. What is Christmas Day? Monday, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm so scared.
I will not tell you.
I'm just gonna stop praying now. I'm praying for a miracle. Dear God, please turn the weather around.
Yes, pray for a miracle, sister. That's what you need to do.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway. Thank you for listening to us.
And we will see you/talk to you next time.
All right. Bye.